Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, this is Mickey Desai. Welcome back for another episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. I'm very lucky to be sitting again with Amy Eisenstein, who is the CEO and co-founder of the Capital Campaign Toolkit. Did I get that right, Amy?
You did. Thank you.
Great. And this time we're going to talk about certain elements of pandemic fundraising, something we've covered on the podcast before, but I wanted to get Amy's perspectives in particular. Amy, with your client base and your client load, given that we're a month into this global crisis, what are you hearing from your nonprofits and what advice are you giving them?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a challenge for everyone, obviously. And it's interesting how different it is every single day and every single week, almost every single hour. Finally, a month in, things maybe are starting to stabilize a little bit and people are getting accustomed to working from home and getting a little bit more grounded. So I guess a few things I want to make sure that nonprofits are doing or have done. Number one is applied for the funding that they're eligible for under the CARES Act. That's the stimulus bill passed. So this applies to U.S.-based charities with U.S. employees and under 500 employees. Nonprofit organizations are eligible for funding to help with payroll, to help with mortgage interest and rent and utilities. So if you haven't applied for that yet, I would say that that's probably the first thing you should be doing. And you can find out more information at the Small Business Administration website, which is just sba.gov. So that's number one. Should I keep going?
Yeah, please.
All right. So the next couple of things have to do with fundraising. So I do think that nonprofits should be actively fundraising right now. One is that you should be thinking about pivoting to raise money for emergency needs and really rethinking your case. And I'm guessing that, you know, a month or more than a month into this crisis, it's likely that you've done some of this already. And some organizations are going to have an easier time than others. I mean, if you're providing healthcare or food, or, you know, there's some very obvious emergency services that nonprofits are providing. But I think that honestly, every nonprofit is struggling right now, whether you're providing services or not, in the traditional ways that you have, like performing arts centers or schools. Everybody's pivoted to provide services and communicate with their community and supporters and constituents in new and different ways. And you should also pivot your fundraising to reflect those changes.
Do you find that nonprofits are reluctant to be asking for money right now?
I do. I have to say, I've heard too many organizations tell me that they're not fundraising or that their board members think it's inappropriate to be fundraising. And I personally think that's a huge mistake. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't think you should be extremely sensitive and thoughtful in your fundraising efforts. But what we've learned from economic downturns and crisis after crisis in the past is that organizations that stop their fundraising take so much longer to recover or don't recover, they don't make it out. And organizations that work their plan, continue their fundraising, and continue to communicate with their donors, they actually raise more in the short and long term and come out stronger than they had been. Because here's the reason why. Your mission, the purpose for your organization and the case that you make for support from donors hasn't changed. You know, whatever your mission was a month ago, that still is just as important as it is today. And the donors that supported you then still care about your organization, your cause, your mission, and want to see you succeed and thrive moving into the future. And so I think it's, you know, it's never inappropriate to ask for help. Now, does that mean that everybody we ask will be able to make a gift or donate? No, it doesn't. But those who can, will. And we're seeing examples of that in every industry and every sector, whether it's healthcare or education or the environment or arts or, you know, on and on and on. We're seeing donors step up in big ways. And if you're not out there communicating with your donors and asking for support and help during this really challenging time, you're missing an important opportunity.
I think you've hit on a key word there. I think, like you said, the relevance of one's mission doesn't change, but maybe the communication strategy might change a little bit. Is that not?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you want to acknowledge that we're going through a global health and economic crisis, mm-hmm. and that you understand that everybody's situation is different. And you also want to continue to serve the community and your clients and your staff as you've always done. And you're turning to your supporters for help during this really challenging time. And if they can help, you hope they will. I think that's the message.
Yep, absolutely. So what are you coaching your clients to focus on right now? What should fundraisers in general be focusing on right now?
Yeah, so it's interesting. You know, most everybody's working from home. I shouldn't say everybody. I know that there's tons of people on the front lines right now. There are still many, many people who are working to make sure that the country and the community still functions and operates. And, you know, food delivery services and healthcare, they're still working on the front lines. But if you have a break in your normal day-to-day nonprofit work life, I think this is a really good opportunity to really do some planning and strategizing, thinking about where do I want my nonprofit to be in 6 months or 8 months or 12 months? What will I wish I had done then that I could do now in terms of building relationships, communicating with donors, rethinking how we work? I think it's an opportunity to think about some of the systems and infrastructure that you have in place. I mean, I've talked to several nonprofits in the past 2 weeks that hadn't set up yet the infrastructure or the technology for a monthly giving program. And it's a huge opportunity loss. They, you know, it's a big miss on their parts, but they could do that now.
Yeah.
And so some of those systems and infrastructure things, some planning. I was chatting with somebody the other day and they said, listen, we never thought we could work from home before, but it's working. People are getting things done. People are functioning. And we may need to rethink how nonprofits think about staffing and who needs to come in and what kind of rents we need to pay to have offices in certain cities around the country and the world. So it's a really good time for planning and strategy and systems and infrastructure. The last thing I would say is that I think it's a really good time, well, if you have a break and if you're at home, to think about your continuing education. There's endless courses online. And if you've been meaning to be a better writer, or if you've been meaning to take a fundraising course or a course on nonprofit accounting or, you know, whatever it is, now there's no time like right now.
That's right. And some of the advice that we've been giving to people on a mental health perspective too, it's you have a little downtime, use it for self-improvement.
Yes.
So let's move on to our next little question here, which is, should fundraisers be reaching out to foundation funders?
Yeah, I mean, I think you should be reaching out to all your donors, but foundations are in a unique and interesting position right now because, unlike your individual donors, the work of a foundation is to think about philanthropy and plan out their philanthropy. And many of them have been doing just that. So they are changing their guidelines to be less restrictive, to be more helpful to nonprofits during this crisis. Some of them are opening up emergency pots of money. If you're not communicating with your foundations, you don't know if they've expedited deadlines or added a new funding cycle or opened up a pot of money. Unlike your individual donors, foundations often use a 36-month quarterly rolling average to give out their money. So right now, what they're giving out is from the height of the stock market. This downturn hasn't affected what they're granting yet. It will in a year or two from now. But right now, they actually have money to give. Some of them are loosening the restrictions and giving out more than their 5%. And so I think it's critical that you pick up the phone and communicate. Just find out how your foundation funders are doing. I mean, any donor that you're calling, you want to check in with first. Well, how are they doing, right? How's this affecting them? And then you can continue the conversation.
Well, I think the overall thought might be, and I should not speak for folks, but you know, I imagine some people are thinking, oh, the philanthropic sector is now too concerned with actual COVID relief efforts, and that doesn't mean me. And that's not correct.
Right. I think that that's not correct. I mean, some people have probably shifted their focus to emergency needs, but you might also think about them giving gifts over and above. Those are extra gifts that they're giving for COVID crisis, but they still want to support, you know, foundations for sure, but individuals as well. The organizations that they love and that they care about and that they want to see continue to exist and thrive in their communities. I mean, you know, this crisis doesn't change what somebody who absolutely loves art and theater and museums, they're going to continue to give to those important causes. I mean, we need arts and culture. One could argue more now than ever.
Right.
Now, you know, so yeah, I think it's super important that you continue to raise money and continue to make the case about why your organization now is more important than ever. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, with schools, they're going to need more scholarship money than ever before because their students, you know, their parents may have lost their jobs or whatever the case may be. And so it's important for all sorts of institutions to pivot their fundraising for emergency relief.
Mm-hmm. So to summarize, the advice is don't stop your fundraising efforts, maintain them or even ramp them up a little bit. Keep an eye on your communication strategy as it parallels the fundraising strategy and remember that your mission is relevant. Would you say that's a fair summary?
I think that's a great summary. Yeah.
What resources are available for fundraisers who may need guidance?
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of great resources out there. You know, you can just go online for fundraising, COVID-19, yeah. And I'm sure endless resources will pop up. Two things that I personally am doing, and then I'll share a few others. So I have decided that I'm going to do 2 weekly, hour-long community style town hall style fundraising calls per week. And they have been amazing calls. I've had hundreds of people on calls twice a week where people are asking fundraising questions or questions about their nonprofit and how to work from home. And there's a whole town hall community that is chiming in to answer those. So am I allowed to say where people can join those calls?
Absolutely.
All right. So one of them is at my website, amyeisenstein.com/townhall. And then you can sign up. The sign up is just to get the link to the weekly calls. And those happen every Thursday at 3:00. Oh. And we're just discussing general fundraising. The other one is on the Capital Campaign Toolkit website. And it's on Mondays, every Monday through the crisis at 2:00 Eastern time. And that link is capitalcampaigntoolkit.com/toolkit-talks-webinar. So hopefully we can get a link out to everybody for those resources.
Definitely. And if you'll send me those, I'll make sure that they'll appear in the show notes when we publish this episode.
Great.
And I hope I can join you for one of those. I think they sound very interesting to me.
That would be great. I'd love to.
Amy, what else? What else should we share with our audience before we sign off for today?
Yeah, so I think the two other resources that I always look to are AFP. So the Association of Fundraising Professionals specifically has COVID-19 resources, and they have a growing list list of resources on their website. The other one is the National Council of Nonprofits has an excellent resources for how to cope and how to deal with this and what resources to apply for. So I think we'll stick with those two as excellent resources for people right now.
Yep, I think that's right. And I would invite our listeners, if they have anything else to add to that list, to please drop me a line, go to nonprofitsnapcast.org and use the contact me or contact us option there to tell me where else we should point folks, and I'll make sure that those get published at some point.
Great.
Thank you, Amy, for taking the time. I know you're busy, and I really appreciate these conversations that we get to have.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. And to our listener, as always, we welcome your suggestions and your feedback. And if you have the time, please rate us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you find our podcast. Those ratings help us get more searchable by other people in our field. Hope you're all being safe, and we'll look forward to seeing you with another episode in a few days.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.